Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Who is this guy on your airwaves right now? For those of you just tuning in, this is the Jeff Poor Show. We're going to do this every day from 9 to noon. Not too hyper-local, but local enough. Perhaps I should say regional look at politics. Why does all this stuff matter in Washington to you? We know all the talking points and all of that. I hope to accomplish that. That is what we're going to strive for. So stick with us on this. It's going to be worth your while. Still to come on the program today, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennon will be with us at the bottom of the hour. And in the 11 a.m. hour, State Representative Matt Simpson joins us in studio. Going to be a regular feature here on Mondays, I hope. We're going to do a lot with the legislature on this program. I feel like it's an underserved area. It's a very difficult thing to understand. There's so much going on in politics, knowing the inner workings of the Alabama legislature, which are fascinating, guys. Absolutely fascinating. It's a heavy lift for a lot of people. We're going to try to make that easier. We're going to keep track of that, and that's the hope with this, but we're going to get the NRAB members on from time to time and talk about their districts and the local economies there, particularly in this time of COVID and all this upheaval. So, that is a goal of this show, not just with COVID, but with other things, including transportation projects, notably gas taxes and toll bridges and things of that nature. Because what do we want state government to do? To educate our kids somewhat, but a lot of us just want to get home from work or get to work, and that I think is a big part of that. But more on that perhaps as the show unfolds in the coming days. We'll talk more about those issues and what to look forward to. I know driving from Huntsville to Mobile, road construction up every 50 miles going out 65 where they'd shut it down to one lane. So they're making the most of, I think, the slowdown to get some of these projects done, but they look like a lot of repaving projects. So that's what we'll talk about. COVID numbers. Remember the big mask controversy 2 weeks ago? The mandatory mask mandate. And I pushed back against it. I think a lot of people did. The state government, do they have that power to tell us we all have to wear a mask? We heard Governor Ivey justify it this way. It wasn't necessarily that she had the facts and figures say that, wearing a mask. No, it was the CDC says this, so we should do this. And for a lot of people, I think that was maybe not enough. But good little rule followers that we are, we've adopted this. You can't go anywhere in the bigger cities without seeing somebody wear a mask. That's Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, mostly. You got into rural areas, though, and it's very loosely enforced. We've had a law enforcement, particularly in some of these places, in Blount County, Alabama. The sheriff there, Matt Moon, says he's not going to enforce the mask mandate. He's not going to make people do that. And that makes me wonder if this mandate, if we're all having to go to the trouble of having masks and making sure they're clean and buying them, or the expense and the trouble, and then just the discomfort of having to wear them, but knowing that we're doing our part. If it's only going to be certain parts of the state and not others, are we really working toward that goal that we want to get to? What is that goal? Can somebody tell me what that goal is? What is the all clear on COVID-19? Is it flattening the curve? Is it a decrease in numbers? How far do they need to be decreased? Well, what is that number? And it's very... I couldn't tell you. It's very vague. And I think that's not really on us to tell you. It's on people we elect. What does success look like? And you ask, if you ask a member of the legislature or a mayor or anybody else, you get 10 different answers. What is the answer? What will we say, hey, we're back to normal. We are where we need to be. We can stop wearing masks. We can open movie theaters. We can go back to full occupancies. Or we can let you hang out at a bar after 11 p.m. Because apparently the magic is at 11, anything at nighttime, COVID-19, the virus, runs rampant. But before 11, it's fine. Do what you got to do. Just social distance and wear your mask. Yeah. Tell me what the logic is. And it doesn't seem that we have a... Well, we don't have a game plan. We don't have a solid game plan from our elected officials. We have a lot of ideas, and we're just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. Mask mandate, is it really working? And I think the results are mixed. Let's take a quick phone call here. Let's talk to David about the Mobile mask mandate. David, how are you today?
Hey, Jeff. I got to say, listening to the intro and outro music is worth tuning into the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Primo top shelf music.
Well, at least it gives you one reason to listen. Hopefully there's others along the way.
Yes, but on yesterday, 30 days after the Mobile City Council and the mayor,
I think we're losing you there, David.
Coronavirus, yeah. In Mobile County. Now, that's not all in the city, but that's, you know, the time they implemented the city ordinance, Dr. Eichel implemented a countywide order as well. I think it's safe to say that heavy-handed government mandates do not work. Because, I mean, clearly the evidence is showing that. To answer your question, when can we get back to normal? The short answer to that is if Joe Biden is elected in November, it'll be the day after the election when we can go back to normal. Now, we know for a fact that the best way to slow the spread of the transmission of this virus is antibodies. I mean, we had a study, the major news at the top of the hour is saying that one of the more effective treatments for the coronavirus is these manufactured antibodies from this pharmaceutical company. One of the cheapest and fastest way to build up antibodies in the general population for the coronavirus, it is exposure. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go have coronavirus parties or anything like that, but we need to let this virus do what it's naturally going to do so that it can settle back into a more seasonal pattern until we can get a vaccine to eradicate this virus. That's just my opinion.
Hey, David, thanks for the call. I a lot of people share that sentiment, but we don't know that it's going to be, if it's even achievable to be in a seasonal pattern. We thought, the weather's going to warm up. This thing will die down. It hasn't died down yet. You're right, though. I think we have a real mistrust in our institutions right now. If the media and these doctors that are the so-called experts tell us to do something, well, there is a component of society that says this is all political. This is all to get a Democrat elected president. And, you turn on, if you tune on the CNN or MSNBC and you see what they do and their chyrons, and it does seem very slanted to the left. But that just, I feel like that builds up on the mistrust at a time when we really need trust in our institutions. But if everything is political, you're going to have people out there that are going to question every aspect of this. And that's, if the goal is to eradicate a deadly virus, but on one hand, the people that get to make the decisions and get to talk about it are the gatekeepers of information, have a political agenda, well, people are going to tune it out. And that's not the best way to approach this. I think that's a real problem. We have a real lack of trust of our institutions in this country, both right and left. And until that is resolved, we're always going to be playing a guessing game, it seems like. All right, take a quick break. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight. Because Music Row ain't only in Tennessee. So won't you bury me in Dixie?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in the next segment, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon will be with us. We're going to talk to him about what's going on. The tourist economy right now, such an integral part of The funny thing is, we'll get to that in a second, but we're going to talk to him about that. Funny thing is, when I tell people I'm leaving Huntsville to go to Mobile, it's like, oh, you're going to the beach. It's like one big happy beach. Not exactly, but you see that perception. We talked about that in the very opening segment of the show, and the way, you know, the rest of the state kind of looks at coastal Alabama. There's a lot more than just a Floribama down here, folks. But that is it's an odd perception, to say the least. So, but you want to stay tuned for that. Here's a story for you. The New York Times, Ben Smith, writing about, you know, what election night will look like and the way the media will cover it. Well, apparently there's I don't know how big of a movement within the Democratic Party right now, but they're wargaming the possible, quote, contemplating secession and potential civil war as a game out possible scenarios for a closely contested election. That's in the New York Times. And you get down toward the end of this story. It's buried down at the very bottom. And I don't know if this is tongue-in-cheek or what's going on. John Podesta, remember him from the Hillary Clinton campaign? Talking about how this could play out. And if one of these candidates doesn't concede, if Joe Biden doesn't concede, the entire West Coast, Oregon, California, Washington State, could secede from the Union, and we could have possible intervention of U.S. armed forces. Like a civil war? Joe Biden going to be Jefferson Davis here? This is something really pushed out by Republicans this morning. I just got the blast from the Republican Party about this, but saw this last night. And I, you know, you see John Podesta. Is this really where? Are there Democrats that are really thinking about leaving the Union over what? What would they leave? I mean, they didn't like Donald Trump's border wall that could be torn. I mean, this isn't. It's really the cult of personality, one way or another, such a strong impulse that would make people really want to leave the United States of America. I mean, let's face it, Donald Trump is a president. What has he done that is really that much different than any other American president in history? So there are some things. Don't get me wrong. There's some very characteristic things of Donald Trump that you will remember him for. But, you know, the hallmark achievement seems to be a couple of nominations to the Supreme Court. Presidents appoint justices to the Supreme Court all the time. He is remaking the court system with his appointees, but they're not really his appointees. They're, you know, these think tanks in Washington, D.C. come up with these lists. It would be, I would say, these people he's appointing to the federal bench would be the run-of-the-mill judges that would be appointed under any Republican president. It is that we have, or the media have, and Democrats have, ginned up such an animosity toward this president. And a lot of it, you know, the fears were never realized. What we heard in 2016, heading into the November election, if Donald Trump got elected, go back and read Paul Krugman or anybody like that, they have not really lived up to what the left was telling them. And you've seen the pictures on Inauguration Day of the crazy person just like in agony once Donald Trump says, "So help me God," and is sworn in as President of the United States. I mean, it seems to me that it's just kind of the substance of why we don't like the President of the United States from that crowd isn't really anything tangible? Is it really anything you can talk about? Now, right now, there's what President Trump is doing in these bigger cities, in Portland, Oregon in particular, with the protection of the federal courthouse there. Because, the police there have decided to let this protest movement run its course. Let these guys blow off some steam, because that's what we do in America. We let the mob blow off its steam, and then maybe everything is going to be okay. Well, once they started messing around with federal property, the Fed said, no, you're not going to do that. And they started coming in and using some strong-arm tactics, arguably. But people are making that out to be Trump's secret paramilitary has infiltrated these protest movements, and it's all part to rig an election. If you watch any MSNBC, Morning Joe, or whatever, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, this is really dangerous to our democracy. do we get the sense that the hysteria has been ginned up so much by the left and Democrats in the name of getting power? Because that's what all this is. It's a move to get power, to get a Democrat elected, and I guess people can sleep easy at night, at least on the left, and Washington D.C. can be better off, and they can, you know, do get back to normal as they see normal. But they have done this at a disservice, because you're going to gin these people up to such an extent, they're going to have these higher expectations, and then you're going to have the rise of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes. You're going to have the rise of these far left figures in American politics, Bernie Sanders. I mean, you name it. Like, you know, 10 years ago, could we have ever envisioned a socialist being successful in American politics? When I was a child, communism, socialism, those were dirty words. That was the Soviet Union. That was the evil empire. You know, the knock on Reagan, if you remember, it was never... It was never that we need to adopt, be more like the Soviet Union. It was like, we don't need to be at odds with them quite as much. Now, we got to be more like them. That's a more equitable society. But that being said, I don't think the Democrats, I don't think the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's really want that for America. They like to say that to get people to vote Democrat in elections. But at some point, you're going to see these expectations rise, and you're going to expect more socialism from our federal government. And our system just isn't designed for that. So whenever we get down about the Republican Party and demographics and the way the country is going, Texas is going to go blue, Georgia's going to go blue, the demographics demand it. Here's what I think is going to happen, guys. Republican Party stays the same. At some point, the Democratic Party is going to have its own civil war. You're going to have the people that just want power for the sake of having power. Then the true believers who really, really want wholesale changes in the American system. And then maybe you do have particularly in the West Coast, maybe you do have a push for secession. You do have that. And that's going to be there. It's going to lead to all this civil unrest. But it just seems to me the root of all of this, it isn't that Donald Trump came in and really changed the federal bureaucracy in either way. If anything, the federal bureaucracy became more entrenched under Donald Trump and more used to its old ways. And then if it's still kind of the status quo with some tweaks here and there, but you've got this angry populace out there, and we have seen proof of this on the streets of America. We have seen it. We've seen police precincts getting, burned down. And if you just think it's just George Floyd that people are upset about, I think it's more than that. I think there is an undercurrent there that people aren't happy with the way the system is. And that's not to say people weren't happy on the right with the way the system was either. That's what led to the Donald Trump. But there's our elite institutions. This all gets back to what I was talking about in the very last segment. Our elite institutions are failing a lot of Americans right now. They're losing confidence in them. They just don't trust them. Go wear a mask. No, I don't believe you. You just want to get Joe Biden elected. You hear that. Whereas that seems like a foreign concept 20, 30 years ago. If you want to live, you'll wear a mask. Or you want grandma to live, you'll wear a mask. And we probably would believe people like that. But everything is political right now. And that is not going to get us where we need to be to get past this virus. But anyway, I do think that there's something to that, the idea that the country could split up. Will it happen? No, but will it become more mainstream? Will people be talking about it more if Donald Trump gets reelected? Yeah, I think so. And then who are the South the runaway states, or whatever you want to call them. Look at the West Coast. It's so far removed. If you ever spend any time on the West Coast, they talk about what's happening back east. It does seem like it's so far removed from really where our media and our politics and our financial sectors are all centrally located, New York City, Washington, D.C., and all points in between, right? You know, somebody in Oregon probably just thinks that's light years away. I don't really matter. We need to do our own thing over here. And you see the behavioral aspects of people. I guess the Democratic Party envisions that. That is where the weakest link would be. But it is crazy town, right? It does seem crazy town. Who's the crazy one now? It's the Democratic Party. John Podesta doing this, saying this, and just getting in the New York Times. This isn't some, you know, crazy message board stuff here. This is the mainstream media talking about secession and just the wholesale mistrust in a lot of things government. I this is a kind of a direction, and unless this ship gets righted, I think you're going to hear more and more talk about this. But it's not going to be helped any by Democrats that are just in it for their own political gain, trying to get their own power, trying to game, you know, the system to scare people, particularly left-leaning voters, that things are so bad, so terrible, that this you got to vote this guy out. If you don't vote this guy out, then what? You're on a powder keg, right? It's set to explode. It's going to go off, and then what happens? And who's going to be around to pick up the pieces? So not to get all doom and gloom on you, but it's out there. There's discussions about it. People seem to be really concerned about it, and it's making mainstream headlines and mainstream media headlines. But I would think if it were Republicans talking this way, it'd be a whole different story. It'd be everywhere right now. We got to take a break. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I'm a shut my mouth, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again. Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.
All right, let's take it on down to Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown, Mr. T.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5, FMTalk1065.com if you're streaming it live right now. Still to come on the program today, State Representative Matt Simpson will be with us. That's in the next hour. Please stay tuned for that. But join us now. He is the mayor of Orange Beach. A pleasure to introduce my next guest. Tony Kinnon joins us on the line. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm well, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, I appreciate you making time for us. It means a lot, particularly here on the first show.
Mayor,
I want to get you on. I think this is kind of something we need to talk about. It seems that, you know, COVID-19 has changed everything, the way people are. But I wanted to get kind of a sense of how things are going on the coast, at the beaches, tourist economy. Every time I go down the beach expressway or a stop at Bucky's, it's jam-packed full of people. It seems to be at a pretty good tick. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh yeah, it really is. The numbers are astounding. You know, I don't know if it's an aberration because of COVID, or because of COVID we've been found out and found a new demographic to visit. I don't know what it means, but the numbers are through the roof. And you know, most people aren't flying, or they're not going out of the country, and we're an easy drive. So I think that has so much to do with it. And, you know, it's a mixed bag for all of us. It makes blessing.
How is that dealing with that? You know, you got law enforcement. You're supposed to enforce some of these social distancing guidelines and mask mandates and things of that nature. All this, it seems like it has to be, there has to be a balancing act somewhat.
Yeah, it really is. You got to find middle ground. I mean, just a little background. We have 7,000 full-time residents, but we may have 100,000 people here right now. So, you know, our police department is stretched, I mean, to the breaking point, to enforce CDC guidelines. It's just really impossible. You know, people can say they have a zero tolerance, but you can't have a zero tolerance if you can't enforce 100%. So we do the best we can of working and talking with our businesses and asking them to comply and help us comply. Their problems are they're so short-staffed at times, they're having a hard time just providing the service, much less having the extra people to do the counts or, you know, spread people out, other than outside of the chairs or the sitting itself. So it's just really a difficult situation, but, you know, you got to have the economy. We can't shut down completely. It's really a tough situation to be in because we do know the virus is real. We do know it's a threat to a certain demographic and those at risk, and we've really tried to protect them. And we put a program in place very first of March, I think before anybody did, that if you're quarantining because you're a high-risk individual or couple, we will take care of you. Food, medicines, take your garbage out. Whatever you need, we do that as a city service. But at the same time, we got to keep our economy going too. So it's tough.
Mayor, is it really this? You hear a lot of this in our national politics that we're incentivizing people not to go to work, and that's making it difficult for employers to find people, particularly I would think in industries around the beaches.
Yes, sir, it is. When I'm out every day, and I talk with all of our business owners, and the folks just don't want to come to work. You know, they're essentially making $50,000 a year, some significantly more than they were making, and they have no incentive to get off the couch. Now, that's a generalization. There are exceptions, and there's hard workers out there that come to work just for the pride of it, enjoy having a job, but there's a whole bunch that doesn't. And, we've cultivated a group of folks that love to live off the government, and they're killing us right now by not being at work. And it bothers me a lot. It really does. I do understand the need for unemployment. I mean, we've all been there, and it is a stopgap. It's a safety net, and that's what it's meant for. But, dadgummit, when you get into the lifestyle of living off of it, that just bothers me.
Well, do you get the sense that maybe it's just employers, just this is going to be the new normal, that they're going to have to pay more to get this seasonal help? I mean, it was already, you could do pretty well with a seasonal job, even though it's just for the season, that maybe in some ways the ultimate change is going to be, it's just going to be higher wages or something.
I don't know. I don't know where the breaking point is, because if there's higher wages, there's higher costs, there's higher prices. Somebody's got to pay for it. And, you know, whether the public is willing to pay 15-20% more for a meal to cover increased employee costs, I don't know. I do think there's a breaking point that it just can't continue climbing. But there are just some folks that it wouldn't matter if they were making $75,000 or $100,000 a year. If they can make 50 and do nothing but have a good time, that's what they're going to do. And in some situations, that's what we got. We've got others that are playing the game with the COVID. You know, I'm not coming in because I'm at risk and I'd rather stay home. And some, I think, legitimately feel like that. Some, I think, are using it as an opportunity. So I'd hate to generalize, because I think there's exceptions to every rule. But the bottom line is we're having a hard time getting people to work. And people can make of that what they want.
Joined by Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan here on the program. Mayor, something else I've noticed kind of through this whole ordeal, the national media have picked Gulf Shores and Orange Beach to come down and show this is where, in Alabama, they're not social distancing, they're not wearing masks, they're not adhering to these guidelines, and then they'll trot out Stephen Reed, the mayor of Montgomery, or somebody like that to opine on it. But do you feel like you're being kind of unfairly targeted by maybe some of these national outlets?
Yeah, and I'll be quite honest with you, I don't give a darn what the national media think. I don't care what the mayor of Montgomery thinks. That doesn't bother me in the least. It's all a game for them. The 24-hour news circuit is just really devastating this country, and because everything is news now, and nothing is news. So for them to come down here and act like that, when they don't know us, they don't know what precautions. Guy walks up on the beach, does an interview, walks off the beach and takes his mask off. It shows what a farce, what a fraud it all is. But we're doing the best we can. If you're on the beach, you're in the sun, you have a breeze, you're with your group, we, for the most part, are doing a good job of keeping people separate. And we don't even have to keep them separate. For the most part, people are doing a good job of following the rules. There are exceptions, and when we see the exceptions, we take action. But that report was it was just a fake. It was a fraud. And it really bothers me that we've let ourselves get sucked into letting them, the news media, do that to us. Not just Orange Beach, but to us as a country. We need to just turn it off. Really do just need to turn it off.
I mean, it seems the solution really is, it's not like a heavy-handed enforcement, and I don't know how you're handling it in your community, but You got to have this anticipation that people are going to try to do the right thing when appropriate, and hopefully personal responsibility will prevail.
Yes, sir. I agree, and I think that's what the country's founded on. It's personal responsibility and accountability. At least that's what it used to be founded on. We didn't need government intervention to tell you how to act because your mom and dad taught you how to act. But it's really changed, and unfortunately, it does nothing but open up opportunities for government to grow. Irresponsibility of the electorate opens up that response, that opportunity, and it is saddening. And but you know, our folks come down here are really trying hard, and there are exceptions. You know, we've had situations where a bunch of kids came down here, and essentially it was an extended spring break, and we took immediate action and stopped that. But that's been few and far between. It really has been.
Well, do you fear this, that if these numbers, these COVID-19 cases head in the wrong direction, we're trying a mask mandate right now, if that doesn't work like it's supposed to, that there's the potential there that Governor Ivey could say, hey, we need to start kind of rolling back some of these openings, shut things down, and in the places that would really get hit the most are your communities down on the coast.
Right. You know, I've been in healthcare for 30 years, so I think I know how to read a study. All the treatment I've ever done in my life were based on scientific studies and research, deductive reasoning process. What I see is the numbers. Again, I go back. The virus is real. The virus has a serious effect on those that have comorbidities. But I think the numbers are 99%+ get well. I think the numbers have been so politicized and created such a hysteria that we've lost sight of what is real. One of my dear friends, who's in great shape, younger than me, spent time in the hospital because it affected him so negatively. But that was the exception. It wasn't the rule. And it really bothers me that we can't get the truth. You know, do masks work or not work? I don't know. I don't know that it hurts. But at the same time, from a philosophical perspective, I don't like my identity taken away from me by having a mask on. I think when you walk around everybody with a mask, we're a bunch of clones. We've lost our individualism as Americans. And that bothers me in the bigger picture than dealing with the virus today. So it's a complicated, very complicated scenario, but I do think this country's been through a whole lot worse situations with a whole lot less government response or hysteria.
Well, with all that hysteria, we were just talking about how the media are targeting your community. But are you seeing an uptick? Are you seeing? I mean, I don't know how you would quantify it, or if you can, but statistics on that, really spreading there? Is COVID-19 really spreading there in Orange Beach?
And it is. It is. But it's like any other virus. It's going to spread. That's what viruses do. I'm a believer in the herd theory. You know, I do think the herd immunity makes sense. I think it has to run through your population. If you don't, and you're throwing all these things into effect, you're essentially doing the whack-a-mole. You're just moving it from one area to the other. We need to see what happens. We need to protect those, and those that are at high risk need to protect themselves. The family needs to take care of them. The churches need to take care of them. But the rest of us, we have to go on with life and be cognizant and be sensitive to those at risk. But these are what I consider to be just Band-Aid methodology. It does nothing but add to or validate what the media is portraying as hysteria or creating the hysteria. And it really bothers me. Because the truth is in the middle there somewhere. But the other thing is the numbers. The numbers have gone up significantly on number of cases because the testing has gone up significantly on the number of testing. Hospitalizations have gone up slowly. I think if you look at the delta between the hospitalizations and the uptick in number of cases, you'll see the percentage is the same or just a little more. But we're learning more about the virus, death rate, mortality rates going down. So I don't know. I can't take the numbers and I can't create hysteria out of the numbers for me. It doesn't work. But, when you keep harping on how many people have died, all that can do is create hysteria.
Mayor, last time you and I talked in person, the big issue, this is totally unrelated to COVID or anything like that, the bridge, the traffic situation, getting on and off the island there. Where are things with that? Are you seeing some movement on what you are? Is that heading in a good direction?
I think so. We the 5-lane of Canal Road, has really made a difference in our ability to move traffic in and out of Orange Beach, around Orange Beach. Obviously, we've only got three main arteries and they're state owned. The toll bridge, the toll plaza, is now the pinch point. There's five, I call them fly-throughs, booths, and we need significantly more. The state is looking at a bridge to the west that would create a free bridge. We've been negotiating with the current toll bridge company, and it's a new company that is actually in the toll booth, toll road business, and have come up with what we think is a very good solution and coexistence. The state will have to bless that deal and be part of it before it happens, and we're waiting to hear from Montgomery whether they would do that. If, for whatever reason, they decide that is not the route they want to go, then they've assured us there would be a bridge to the west that would be a free bridge, and it would be built. So we just need help. Either way, we're going to support it, but we need something going.
I mean, it's the public safety issue, I guess. The traffic problems would be alleviated, but the goal is you need emergency vehicles on and off the island, and then obviously in the event of a hurricane or something of that nature, you need to expedite getting people evacuated. That really seems to be where the concern would be.
It is. Worst case scenario, you got a huge pinch point because we've only got two lanes off the island. And part of our negotiations with the bridge company, when I say bridge, I'm with the toll company, is they would add another two lanes. So now we have two off, two on for convenience. But in an emergency, we could essentially have three off and one emergency lane, or even four off the island to move traffic as we reverse the flow up the expressway to I-10 in a really, truly worst case scenario. But just from a convenience factor, or just a quality of life factor, we have got to get something done one way or the other, either at the toll bridge with increased fly-throughs, and I think we've negotiated going from five to them building 11 fly-throughs that would make all the difference in the world, and adding two lanes to the bridge.
Mayor, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I want to thank you. Thank you for coming on, and we're going to do this again real soon.
Oh, thank you. Call me anytime, and I sure appreciate it.
All right. That was Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon here on the program. We got to take a break. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5. Out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. I'm getting hammered. Sitting right here at the Flora family. I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single. And welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. I want to hear from you. 251-344-343-0106. Eventually that will just roll off my tongue and I won't even think twice about it. But give us a call. Text us 251-343-0106. Who is this guy on your radio airwaves right now? It is Jeff Poor. My first show here. Very humbled and honored that Sean Sullivan would take such a risky gamble and let me sit behind his microphone. But very honored for that. Part of 8 continuous hours a day of live local talk radio, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Feinbaum is kind of local too. You know, you add that into it. It's going to accumulate. I think we're up to 52 hours a week or something like that. Right, Sean? That's the new hallmark for FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, we're over 52 hours a week, 7 days a week of live vocal shows, and with you coming on board with us, what a difference it is. I mean, 8-hour block, something you're not hearing anywhere else, 8-hour block of live, local, organically sourced. You know, what
organically sourced, it sounds a little...
I'm trying to make it like the
granola.
Farm. No, yeah. That's what I'm doing. So, organically, it's farm-to-table, local radio.
No genetically modified organisms
other than
here.
Other than me.
Well, I don't. You claim that mantle, but if you, just a little behind the scenes teaser here during the break. So Sean's running the board for me today. I sat through not one viewing of this, but two viewings of somebody putting a compilation together of the mask debate and people on news channel saying the great mask debate. It took me a while to, oh, that's why he's laughing. But it's always a pleasure to work with Sean Sullivan.
Because I'm a grown-up.
And his sense of humor over there.
This?
Target and Walgreens are getting in on the mass debate.
This morning, as COVID cases mount across the country, the mass debate is intensifying.
People are very passionate on both sides of the great mass debate.
Ruin it for your show?
Yeah, I'm going to play the whole thing during Midday Mobile, so don't worry.
Yeah, Midday Mobile, ladies and gentlemen, you make sure you tune in for that. Noon to two. The quality of the programming increases significantly heading into that noon
keep
hour.
Keep telling them that.
But you'll get a that was just a teaser there of what to expect here in about an hour. Or
yeah, it's
so.
Almost a minute of that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You just run it on a loop.
Yes.
And you have to listen real close now.
The mask debate.
The mask debate. That is what we do during our breaks here. Coming up on the program in the next hour, State Representative Matt Simpson. We got him for two segments. He is going to be a regular feature on the program on Mondays. Try to get these lawmakers in and out of here as much as possible. Just talk about what's going on around the state issues. I mentioned with Representative Simpson, very outspoken on the prison issue, to the chagrin of at least one of his colleagues in the legislature. We got to take a time out. We will be back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.